You're with Cape Talk.
This is John Matham on Afternoon Drive.
Our next guest is retired Judge Dennis Davis, who is going to be discussing with me the state of affairs, and it is a miserable state of affairs by all accounts, at the office of the Master of the High Court. Dennis, a very good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, John.
Why is it important that the office of the Master functions smoothly, effectively, competently, quickly?
Because basically the master's office is in charge of all deceased estates in the country. So if somebody dies and they've left a will or even intestacy, and beneficiaries require, as they would, the legacies or the inheritances, the bequests, they have to be processed through the master's office. And if you can't do that, because the master's office is in a chaotic state, that means that these estates are never wound up. People can't get the just amount of money which they were entitled to.
Is this a COVID-exaggerated problem, a COVID-created problem, or simply a worsening of a miserable state of affairs that existed even pre-pandemic?
There's no doubt that COVID has exacerbated what was already a problem. I mean, as you know, there are reports about the SIU targeting 15 people in the master's offices, particularly Pretoria, Cape Town and Johannesburg. But let me give you an instance why it's obviously more than that. So in my work at SARS, I've learned that SARS has got basically about 600,000 trusts on its records and can only reconcile 7% with what the master's office has. So that means, so now if you assume that in many, many cases, trusts are set up by wealthy people, I'm not sure that you and I are in that category, to be perfectly blunt, but if you take most of those people, we have got no basis at SARS to actually reconciling this. And in fact, the only trusts that are recorded on a computer are from 2012. Thereafter, you've got to go to the master's office, which are completely in chaos, and try to find these things manually. So there's a massive complication here, not just for deceased estates, but for actually tax collection.
So, I mean, that's do the math quickly. That's 658,000 trusts, some of which probably are avoiding what taxes are due to the state.
I have no doubt about it. And even if you took 2-3% of that, you've still got 10-15,000 of these things, and you cannot, because there was no reconciliation between SARS, not SARS's fault, and the master's office, where there really is chaos, you cannot do the work. So both ordinary people can't get their estates processed. I can tell you how many times I've had over the last couple of months since I've been consulting for SARS, attorneys and other practitioners phoning me desperately asking, how can we actually get things done through the master's office? And, you know, I say, we've got the same problem. And frankly, the only way to deal with this is the Department of Justice is going to have to take the whole thing in hand and revamp the entire structure. It cannot continue as it presently is.
So, you talk about the attorneys contacting you, the people at the bottom end of the feeding chain, those who cannot get money which is legally due to them as a result of a will needing to come into effect. They contact us and they say, please help. And I say, I can't. I simply can't. The master's office is even more obstructive to us than it is to you.
Well, it's totally obstructive to all of us. So you can't get through to anybody. And if you do, they don't particularly respond to you. So the truth is they are not serving the public, which is basically their job. And it's true. I agree with you. In fact, you know, let's leave aside the tax collection, which is sort of my focus. But the focus that you have emphasized is even much more important. Poor people are literally not being able to get those rands and cents that would actually be the difference between sustaining a decent livelihood or not. It's scandalous. And, you know, this is a metaphor for other aspects, but the fact of the matter is this is a metaphor for a sort of, in many instances, a state that is failing its citizenry. And in this particular case, certainly the master's office is.
You said the Department of Justice needs to take over and redesign the whole thing. I don't know if you know enough about the workings of the master's office to offer some suggestions as to how difficult a process this could be, or whether it's actually something that, with the right political will, could be done relatively quickly and relatively smoothly.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, but I suppose the first thing in any situation is to get a couple of people in, or somebody who, you know, at a high level, to actually do a proper investigation as to what the problems are. Now, I have little doubt that COVID has exacerbated the problem, no doubt. But it wasn't there, as I say, it was not there. It was there before COVID. So I would certainly suggest that what the ministry should be doing is getting somebody who knows their oats about this, getting them into these three or four key master's offices, and then making a series of recommendations. Whether this requires better people, meaning people who are more professional in their attitudes to this, or whether it means a redesign of the system, honestly, I can't tell you. All I can tell you is that it is creating significant knock-on consequences right through the system.
I mean, here's one example, Dennis, which has just come in since you and I started talking. John, for 20 years, I've not been able to sort out my late husband's estate. I can't get the correct documents from the master's office. The problem is that my name was spelt incorrectly when I was designated as the executor of his estate. I've been applying for the correct document for years to no avail. And you think, come on, you know, this is a mistake that happens. This is something that should be so easy to sort out quickly so that her late husband's estate can be settled.
Well, you see, like with anything else, I think you've got to get people in leadership who are prepared to be committed to saying our primary responsibility is to the public we serve. And I'm afraid to say that is not happening. And I, you know, my heart goes out to people like that. And there are literally thousands and thousands of them right across the country. And certainly, yes, you've had your share, I've had mine. And I find myself being hapless in this situation, not even knowing where to turn. You know, but frankly, I think the Ministry of Justice has got to step in here. It's under their responsibility, and they owe the public an explanation and a solution.
Do you have any idea? Again, this is not your prime focus, so we can't expect you to know everything about it. But do you have a sense whether the Department of Justice is seized with this issue?
Well, I would be surprised if they weren't, John, because number one, the SIU basically have been investigating people. And because, as you know, for the last goodness knows what, there have been public reports about this, and the legal profession themselves have been complaining bitterly. So I'm quite amazed that given the amount of intensity of protest from the legal profession in this regard, attorneys right across the country, that the Ministry of Justice has just turned basically a deaf ear to this. I can't believe that. And yet, on the other hand, it's getting worse, not better.
Here's another one just in. We have been waiting for a trust certificate since 1984. I'm in the Master of the Court office once a week. Nobody cares.
No, they don't care. They don't. And they don't respond. And consistently I get people saying, we try to phone the Master's office, we try to phone the following, and we get absolutely no response. Now, given the levels of unemployment in South Africa, I would imagine we could probably get people already willing to do the job and do it well.
Judge Dennis Davis, thank you very, very much for your contribution. Look, we'll try and get Minister Ronald Lamola on the line. This is a subject that I think deserves more than whoever the Department of Justice spokesperson is at the moment. If not the minister, then maybe the deputy minister. If not the deputy minister, then maybe the director general or the deputy director general. Whoever is the most senior administrator with a direct line of command to the master's office that we can get on the radio. I don't expect to end that conversation, if and when it happens, with any great sense of optimism, but we'll try.